Again, it's good to see everybody. Again, welcome to New Life Church here, where we aim to make Jesus the center of our life, our church, and our community. Again, those of you who are joining online, we welcome you in this morning as we get into today's word. Let me invite you to turn to your Bibles to the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3. It's going to be our foundational text today. We're starting a new series today called Reset, and I'll get into more of that here in a little bit about what that's about. But for now, let's go to our foundational text, which is Philippians 3. We're going to start in verse 1, then we're going to skip down to verse 12. Verse 1 says, whatever happens, this is the Apostle Paul, by the way, writing this letter, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. He says, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. So we know this is a pattern of Paul to speak and write these things. Look down in verse 12. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. In other words, I tell you this, but I'm also trying to live it out myself. He said, I haven't already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Verse 13, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Let's pray today over this word. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. I pray today it would be fresh and spring forth in our life and create in us what you desire. And help us, O Lord, to have something we can latch on to and anchor our souls to. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. We give you this attention now from ourselves. We're here to listen and we want to receive for your glory, our good. And everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, well, listen, can you guys, it's August. It's here. It has arrived. I don't know about you, but time sure seems to get passed by so fast. I don't know if you think about that. As you're younger, you probably don't think about it as too much. As you get a little older, you cross that 40 number, or you get close to it, you start to realize, yeah, time goes by fast. Here at New Life, we're in a lot of different seasons of life, a lot of different generations, and many of us, school's starting back, some family dynamics are changing, others, you're living the empty nest life and enjoying that. Good for you. As they say, the days are long, but the years are short. But we're halfway through the third quarter, or into the third quarter of this year, and today I want to take a moment, take a little bit of time today, as we get close to this last quarter of the year. I want to remind us of what our theme is this year as a church. The theme is looking forward, and it's found here in these verses that Paul writes in Philippians 3, primarily there right around verse 13 and 14, which we're going to go into detail today. For the remainder of the month, I'm doing a series called Reset. Today we're going to look at resetting our focus as we look back here at our theme for the year of looking forward. You know, as you go through things, when you experience different seasonal challenges and different setbacks, different experiences, yeah, our focus can tend to get off a bit when you just are kind of going through the motions of life, so to speak. And it's important for us to have time and take time intentionally to reset our focus. I recently had my annual eye exam, and the verdict is in. I have to have new glasses. I've had glasses now for 30 years, since I was 19 years old. And was told that your eyes could probably get better. They probably have not. The verdict is in, and my prescription has changed. They bumped up my bifocal number, Lindsay. I know. The good news is now they make them without all those lines, and so I'll be getting those in soon. And what they said, it's going to take you a little time to get adjusted. My prescription didn't change last year, and so I've had this pair of glasses now for 2 years, and, you know, nothing to get used to, but they say I will tell them a difference at the moment I put those new specs on. And they said it will take some time for your eyes to adjust, but my focus will get reset. Our focus, friends, can get off sometimes because of things we go through and situations we encounter and changes in life, just natural changes in life, seasons changing in life can tend to get our focus off. The Apostle Paul, he writes this, he was one who knew too well what it meant to have his focus reset. This Philippian letter came late in his life and in his ministry. He had a whole lot of ups and downs. We can read about these. We're going to look at a few of these here. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and 20 through 28. You can follow along on the screen. He writes, "Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder. I have been put in prison more often. I have been whipped times without number. I have faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods." And to the young people, you think grounding is bad. This was terrible. He said, "Once I was stoned..." Not the bad kind. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys, faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not." That's a rough one. "I have worked hard, long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry, probably hangry. I've been thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches." Paul went through a whole lot of stuff. And there's a lot to be said about someone like this kind of life. One who endured so many different challenges, but yet was able to figure out how to stay focused. That's not that easy. Focused on what's important. And in this letter, the Philippian letter, Paul writes, he initially writes to just thank some friends who have been there for him, to support him financially. He shares how his joy doesn't come from the natural circumstances that he encounters, but his joy is actually rooted in Jesus Christ. He expresses his uncertainty about his future, and he doesn't understand exactly how it's all going to pan out, particularly as he is under house arrest at the time of writing this letter. But he remains confident about his faith that Jesus will not fail him, that Jesus will not abandon him. And so the question that I get from this and that we can take away is, how does one remain focused on what's important while going through different trials, different challenges, different changes of life? And in some of the final words of Paul's letter there in Philippians 3, we discover the way that we too can reset our focus. Paul shares 4. I'll share those with us today. Number 1 is the way we can reset our focus is we have to live forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. He says that in verse 13. You know, this is a constant act on our behalf. It's not just a one and done thing, but it's easier said than done oftentimes. We can all tend to live with regrets. We can tend to live with shame over our past and our mistakes from the most recent to maybe years and years and years ago. It's amazing how us humans can't seem to get over things that have happened to us from when we were even children. That we still can't seem to get past some things. And the scripture tells us that the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and certainly that doesn't help our case at all when he's doing his job that he does. But there's a story in the Old Testament that I'd like us to go through for a moment about Joshua. It's a prime example of one that we can all relate, that God was calling Joshua into a whole new season of life with a fresh start, a new beginning. Israel was fresh off of wandering through the wilderness for 40 years because they just couldn't seem to get their act together to sync with God, and they just couldn't seem to move forward. And here they were about to cross over into new territory and a whole new way of living, a whole new way of life. All things would be new, this promised land that God was telling them about. And maybe you've heard the phrase, you can take the person out of Egypt, but you can't take the Egypt out of the person. I don't know if you've heard that phrase or not. Moses was the deliverer at that time, and he was experiencing that. But he had died, and the baton of leadership had been passed over to Joshua. And the Lord told Joshua this phrase, be strong and courageous. But he told him that three times. In fact, his predecessor, his mentor, Moses, had also told him that near the end of his life, right before he died, he told Joshua the same thing. So Joshua was told this same thing four times. Be strong and courageous. So if he was told this four times, don't you think that was pretty important? That it wasn't going to be easy to move forward to be able to forget the past. That would take strength. That would take courage to move forward in what God had in front of them. I'm sure at this time, maybe Joshua was reminded of that time years before when Moses had sent these 12 spies over into the promised land to check it out and to see what was going on before they ever crossed over. And Joshua was a part of that along with his sidekick Caleb. And they all came back, the spies came back and gave this crazy good report about how amazing it is, but yet how devastating it could be because of all of the enemies that were over in the other side, across the other side. But Joshua and Caleb were strong and courageous, and they came back to say it. But the other 10 leaders and spies shouted them down and snuffed out their courage in that moment. Maybe that was in Joshua's mind now as he was being given the baton of leadership to go across and lead Israel to the other side. Maybe that's why God and Moses told him four times, you've got to be able to forget what happened, and you've got to be able to look ahead to what is in front of you. Forgetting the past is no easy feat. And not to mention, now his mentor Moses had died. He spent years, decades with this man who trained him, who cared for him, who showed him all things on how to lead and to lead well. And he had died. And the Lord gave it to Joshua bluntly. He said, hey, Joshua, listen, Moses is dead. Could you give it just a little compassion, God? He's like, Moses is dead. What you going to do now? If I could do it like the Hulkster could, who recently passed away, I would do that. I'm so tempted to do it, I'm not going to do it. I get caught up in my childhood. He said, therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people into the promised land. So you have a choice, Joshua. You can just sit. You can stay stuck right where you are and never, ever experience what I have waiting for you. Or you can choose to move on. That can sound kind of heartless, right? But God was like, I'm shaking you to your attention here, Joshua. You've got to forget the past. You got to be able to forget the past. Don't let the past, the people, or your enemies hold you down. When Paul says, forgetting the past, he doesn't say it's an easy thing for any of us to do. Because if we are going to reset our focus, then we've got to have, like Joshua, strength and courage to be able to forget the past. And we can't use the past for excuses as to why we don't move forward with God's plan for our life. We're good at excuses, aren't we? I mean, come on, we are the king and the queen of making excuses in life. At any given time, we can all be caught in that moment where we can just come up with the perfect excuse as to why we won't move on. We have to. Yeah, and he goes on, he lets us know through his hardships of life that it's not easy. It's hard, often, because those memories, those reminders of our shortcomings and our failures, those conversations in our mind that we rehearse and we just can't seem to shake, those whispers in our ears from the devil reminding us of how ridiculous we are or how we once were, that doesn't make it any easier either. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy, not letting our own self off the hook because we just expect so much from ourselves. But may we hold fast to this verse in Psalm 103, verse 12. It writes, God has removed our sins. It's a blanket. You name it. Wherever we have fallen short, wherever we have let others down, wherever we have let ourselves down, wherever we have fallen short, God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The New Testament version would be Romans 8:1, which we've read twice now. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To be able to reset our focus, we have to live forgetting the past. But then Paul writes, we also have to live looking forward. Live looking forward, he says there in verse 13. You know, what we aim our life at is actually where we're going to go. You're only going to hit the target that you're aimed after. So what will your focus be for the remainder of this year? Know this, that God's people are people who look forward. That's God's people. And we can learn a lesson from another Old Testament story. It's all the way back in Genesis 19. It's about the story of Lot's wife. And in that story, we can see where at that time God was destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And he told Lot and his family to quickly run and don't look back. He specifically said, don't look back. What do you do when somebody says, don't look back? I mean, God, come on, really? You watch movies, you see shows, they're trying to run away from whatever the thing is that's chasing them, and what do you see them doing? And then they trip over like a blade of grass, right? And it's like, oh, I've broken my entire femur over a blade of grass, and I can't move. But that's what he said. There's a reason. Run quickly, but don't look back. Well, what? I'm not making hard of this, but man, what did Lot's wife do? I'll give you a clue. It says it. She looked back. She looked back, and it says as they were leaving, she looked back, and she instantly was turned into a pillar of salt. That word means to be easily pulverized and dissolvable. She no longer had the ability or the capacity to attain what was in front of her because of looking back. It's a powerful story of how important it is to live life looking forward and not looking behind you, right? The more we look back, the more we allow our life to become dissolved and pulverized, not able to see and attain what God has in front of us. Because we're more focused on what was instead of what can be. Preached a similar message, thought on this a couple of weeks ago. And then Lindsay came in last week and talked about the power of living when we're dry and parched and we're in this place. It requires the Spirit of God to breathe fresh. And the responsibility we have in that is to prophesy to ourselves, to declare God's word over our life, to declare God's goodness over our life, to begin to lift up our head and look to Him where our help comes from, not looking back, but looking forward. Looking forward. What do you keep looking back towards right now in your life? What seems to steal your attention from looking ahead? What do you allow your heart to hold on to that's behind you that you know God is saying, don't look back? You can begin to fill in the blank about whatever that might be. Maybe you've had a hard time getting over a relationship. Maybe you've had a hard time of getting over someone who created friction in your life. Maybe you've had a hard time getting over the last job you had. Maybe you had a hard time getting over the last financial hurdle you had. Maybe it was a physical issue, and now you're on the other side, but it's taking time to be able to move ahead. I don't know what it might be. You fill in the blank. Maybe it's a secret sin in your heart and in your life that you just can't seem to get any constant traction to move forward on, but what are you allowing in your heart that you hang on to that you know God is saying, okay, now you've got to stop looking back. You've just got to stop looking behind you. Look forward. It's trauma, hurt, disappointment, unmet expectations, you name it, failed relationships, you name it. Take God at His word. Stop looking back. Begin to look forward, because what God has in front of you is greater than what was behind you. You got to believe that. What God has in front of you is greater than what was behind you. And Paul goes on to tell us, number three, if we're going to reset our focus, not only are we living to forget the past, to look forward, but we have to do this. We actually have to press on. You can have your car facing the right direction, but until you put it in drive and hit the gas pedal, you ain't going nowhere, right? You got to pull it out of park, you got to put it in drive, and then you got to hit the gas. It's one thing to be facing the right direction, it's another thing to be actually moving. Press on. That word literally means to run swiftly to reach the goal. There's some action in your life. There's mobility in what you're doing. It's called putting your faith to work. Faith without works is dead. That's what James tells us. We have to put our faith to work. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more of God's word you get in you, the more faith you can have, the more action you can have, the more you can press on and run forward to what God has in front of you. You know, God really does have good things planned for our lives. Paul is saying this from a place of having gone through so many different things. He knows what it was like to hurt. He knows what it was like to be rejected. He knows what it was like to be without. He knows what it was like to be sleepless. He knew what it was like to not have all the comfort in the world. But yet what he was able to do is keep his focus on what was important, and he figured out a way to press on to what lies ahead. He knew this to be true. He knew this was a tested and tried part of his faith. He writes this from someone who lived through all the pain, who lived through all the betrayal, who lived through all the shortcomings, who lived through conflict, and at this moment living under house arrest, yet still having the capacity within himself to be able to focus and press on to what was in front of him. He says the only way to be able to have a God focus is to know that there's still a goal to press on towards. And I don't know where you are today in this life, in this season of life for you. May have come out of a really challenging setback or trial, or maybe you're in the middle of one. But you need to know God has a goal for you in front of you. God has something for you to aim your life after. God is able to redeem time, and if He can redeem time, He can redeem situations. He can redeem heart. He can redeem heartbreak. He can redeem our stupidity and our ignorance, right? He can redeem it all if we'll just put it into His hands. God has a goal for us to press on in front of us. Paul knew this, even under house arrest late in his life. He said, there's still got to be more that God has for me. I don't know the exact way my future is going to pan out, but I still believe there's more that God wants me to accomplish with my life for His glory. And He didn't write it from a place of living without problems. Don't ever take advice from somebody who's never had real problems. Because it's easy to give advice from the cheap seats up there when you ain't ever been down in the battlefield, when you haven't ever been on the field, on the court, in the game of life, and really just having to bust it to make it. You know what I'm saying? So if you've listened to anybody who's tried to give you any kind of advice or counsel and they ain't ever really lived, then hey, come on, you need to just let those people go. Because they don't know what they're talking about. Paul knows what he's talking about. I've never been shipwrecked, thank God. I've only been on the ocean once and made it back. I've never gone without food. I've never been beaten, like to the point of like Paul, 39 lashes, what, 5 times? Our Lord only went through that once, and He was on the cross after. I know we go through hard, and problems are relative, pain is relative, I get it, and we all go through things. But Paul's trying to share with us, hey, don't let your focus get off of what's important. So we start this, about to turn a natural season into fall, if it'll get here in a month, if the weather will cooperate, that would be great. Life's changing. Some of our kids are moving on to college. Some are getting married. Some are having babies. Others, like I said, retiring. All these different changes in life. Don't let your focus get off of what is important. And if it has, God has given us a moment today to be able to discover how we can reset that. That we can move forward. His focus, Paul's focus, was so clear that he presses on, says, to reach the goal. You know, a lot of these, some similar words were written to us during the exile years of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29:11. He writes, in the midst of exile, being separated from what and the place God had for them, he says, I know the plans God says I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Even during the challenging years of Isaiah's leadership in Isaiah 40, he says, hey, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Where are you at today? Are you weak? He gives you power. You're powerless? He gives you strength. Even youths will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. Those who, what? Trust in who? The Lord. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. You trying to get through this new season on old strength? God will give you new strength to deal and to walk through and to live and to be able to press on. It says they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. These words were written to be able to help us to know how we can reset our focus on the Lord. And that He is calling us, every single one of us, to press on to the end of our race. Because here's the thing, life tends to blur our vision, to cloud our focus, from being able to truly see what is important, from being able to press on to where God is calling us. Resetting our focus. Living to forget the past. Living by looking forward. Living by pressing on and not staying paralyzed, not staying stuck. Sometimes the hardest action are those first few moments in every day. Just to get up, just to get going, and just to get moving. And we all have our different things we face that weigh on our hearts and that weigh on our minds and that try to suck the joy and the hope out of our life. But there is a race we are all called to run, and there is a prize that we are all called to receive. And that is the last point Paul makes, is you need to be able to receive the prize. Don't forfeit the prize that's waiting for you. Don't forfeit the prize. There is a prize for every single one of us. Paul writes this. I don't want to get ahead of myself. He writes this in 1 Corinthians 9. The prize is for those who endure. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to freaking win. Well, he didn't say freaking. I added that. Run to win. Run to win. If you're going to run this race of life, then man, run it to win. None of us are called to lose this thing. None of us are called to lose. God does not expect us to lose. Will we fall short? You better believe it. Will we fall down? Oh, don't you know it? But the last time I checked, the Bible said, the righteous may fall seven times, but they shall rise again. Don't let falling down turn you into a failure, because you are not your mistakes. Run to win this thing, man. Run to win it. What you gonna do? You can win. Greater is the Spirit of God in you than the spirit that is in this world. That means greatness lives in you. Greatness. The greatness of your Creator. The greatness of God by the Holy Spirit. But the prize is only for those who actually endure and get to the end. Run this race to win this thing. The testimony of Joshua can be read in the closing chapter of his book in 24. Listen to what it was said about him. In verse 29, it says, after this, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land that had been allocated in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Goash. And the people of Israel, listen to this, says the people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, those who had personally experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. So the people that Joshua led all those years earlier across the Jordan River into the Promised Land with strength and courage, they all actually followed his leadership, and they lived for God's purpose. It all worked out. Now, did they have some battles? They did. You can read about all their battles, about all their issues, and all the things that went on. It wasn't just nice and sweet. It wasn't a walk through the park. They had to do all these things that Paul lays out in Philippians 3, forgetting the past, looking forward, pressing on. But look at how it turned out, the testimony of Joshua's life. What do you want the testimony of your life to be? You might be 14 right now, 13 right now. You might be 75 right now. I don't know if I'm reaching any age in there. There's got to be somebody in between. What do you want the testimony of your life to look like? You can reach your prize if you do it God's way. If you do it God's way. These people follow Joshua, and they actually did it. And Joshua received his prize that God had waiting for him. because of his ability to do just that, forget the past and look ahead and press on. The Apostle Paul was in line to receive his prize. In fact, theologians say his last letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, 2 Timothy 2, verses 4 through 6, famous part of his letter, he writes, As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. He writes, the time of my death is near. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And the prize now awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, he writes, but this prize is for everyone who eagerly looks forward to the return of Christ. So Paul's example to Timothy and to us, it shows us that no matter what we go through, what we encounter and what we experience, we can do this. We can live a life honoring God, but we have to make sure we keep our focus in check. Forgetting the past, looking forward, pressing on, receiving this prize. This is life. Doing it all over again. Constantly forgetting the past, constantly looking forward, constantly pressing on, constantly making sure our eye is on the right prize. The goal of the Christian life is not to retire wealthy, rich, and healthy. That would be great. That's nice if that factors in. The goal of the Christian life is to see Jesus. And while on earth, to become as much like him as it possibly can. Let's get our focus where it needs to be if it's not. Sometimes it just has to be reset so that we can see clearly. So that we can see where we need to be going and how we need to proceed. Because we can get blind. We can get blurry. God gives us moments to be able to reset our focus. Maybe right now. Maybe right now is one of those moments. Let's take a moment and just put away our notes, Bible, phone, and bow our head. Maybe now is one of those moments where you need to decide where you're going to truly forget the past, to let go of hurts, offense, regrets, shame, whatever it is. Maybe now is one of those moments where you need to decide that you're going to look forward and not behind you. Ask God to open your heart to have faith and hope for the future, trusting that He will lead your life forward. God, you covered. Some of you are in new places of life, unfamiliar territory. Trust God. He will lead you forward. Maybe today is one of those moments where you need to decide to press on. You just need to hit the gas and go for it, for that goal in Christ, to keep your eyes on Jesus, to trust Him. He's at the finish line cheering you on, saying you can make it. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. I am your light. I am your life. I am your love. I am your source. I am your hope. I am your joy. I am your all in all. I am your everything. Keep your eyes on me, Jesus says. Maybe today's one of those moments where you need to recognize there is a prize waiting for you. God has in store for you. God desires for you and I to make it more than we want to make it. So let that shoot some spiritual adrenaline into your soul today. God desires for us to make it more than we even want to. I'm going to invite you to stand. I want to pray for you. We have a moment of reflection today in response to God's word. Reset our focus. Just put your hand over your heart. Lord, we come before you today and ask you to help us to apply what we hear and what we see here in your word from Paul. Not, certainly easier said than done, but we have your spirit alive in us. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will literally quicken our mortal bodies. Your spirit is powerful and mighty. So we ask for your strength today. We ask for your help today. Help us, O Lord, to live, to make a decision, to forget the past every day. Help us today, O Lord, to look forward to what lies ahead. Help us today to be able to truly have forward progress and press on in a manner to be able to eventually receive that prize that you have in store for us. Help us to keep our eyes on what is important. We thank you for that now. In Jesus' name. Let's respond through this song.